providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Jeff Christian. He is the managing partner at the CPM Group. Jeff, I just want to start it off by discussing your general outlook for metals, more importantly, or more specifically, precious metals, as gold especially has been holding up relatively well, and you can argue over the last few months is in an uptrend, even as we had U.S. equities moving higher and the dollar was holding up fairly well. This week, though, the dollar did start to break down at least a little bit. What is your general outlook for the precious metals?
Well, we think that gold and silver have a little bit further to run in, you know, April into May, maybe. But that then you'll see some second quarter weakness in the prices. They'll come off a little bit. And then in the second half of the year, I think our expectation is prices will start rising. And that's really a reflection of investor attitudes toward the economy and also the dollar. And I think the dollar is going to stay stronger than a lot of people have been thinking it's going to stay. There are a variety of factors, both in the economy and in financial markets, that make us think that. And in that kind of environment, I don't see the dollar, I don't see a strong dollar as precluding higher gold and silver prices, but I do think it's something of a headwind that will limit the pace of increase, at least in the second quarter into the third quarter.
So if we're talking Q2 of this year, that means that we are getting into more or less those summer doldrums. You don't think that's going to be different this year?
I don't think it's going to be different this year unless something really radical happens that we don't foresee. But everything that's bad that's out there, you know, the China-U.S. trade wars, Brexit, the ongoing paralysis and moronic behavior on the part of the U.S. government. You know, all of that stuff's already in the markets. And so unless there's something radically worse, which we just don't see happening in the next 3 to 6 months, we think that the markets will stay relatively quiet.
So is that concerning to you at all that even with all these fears and crazy government actions and weak economic data around the world that the precious metals, gold especially, and even silver haven't been able to break out in U.S. dollar terms?
It's a little bit concerning. I'm not that concerned about it because I think that what you're seeing is a combination of factors. And one of the factors that you're seeing is a lot of people who had been buying precious metals because they thought the world was going to collapse, have sort of given up that ghost. And they say, you know, after 30, 40 years, we have these terrible situations where the markets get really nasty. But then we back off from that and we dust ourselves off. So I think there are a lot of people who have sort of backed away from buying gold and silver as Armageddon investment. And they're looking at them more as traditional investments that you buy and sell depending on what the market's going to do. And it's a little bit worrisome to us, but it's not that problematic. I think that what needs to happen is that the precious metals industries, both the producers and the people who sell precious metals, need to sort of update their business models and look more for the kinds of rationales for buying and holding precious metals that will appeal to a more diversified, educated investor class for precious metals.
Hey, I'm with you, Jeff. We really need some of these companies to start performing better and make their stock more attractive to these more value investors, ones that want to see better numbers coming out of these companies and, quite frankly, better management. We will get into some of these majors a bit later on, but let's also talk about some of the fears of recession that are on people's minds. However, some of these recession fears are dissipating right now. How is this playing into your outlook for the metals?
Yeah, I think one of the factors that caused precious metals to be stronger in December, January, February has been concerns that we might be moving into a recession. And you're seeing those fears back away. People realize that, yes, the U.S., China, and various European economies are slowing down, but they're slowing down from very high levels to still relatively healthy levels. So in the U.S., you might see 2.4% real GDP this year. down from 2.8%, but that's still a very respectable, healthy level. And in fact, it's in that zone that you would call non-inflationary, sustainable economic growth. So I think that you're finding one of the reasons why you've seen some weakness in gold and silver prices recently is that investors are backing away from that fear of a recession, and they're sort of taking a different approach toward both the stock market and the overall economy, and consequently the dollar too, because that factors into all of that.
So you're not saying that we aren't going to see a recession. It just doesn't sound like a recession is right around the corner. Is that correct?
No, there definitely will be a recession. The question is it going to be 2019? We don't think so. It's going to be 2020. Probably not the possibility. But, you know, at some point over the next 5 to 7 years, we think there's going to be a significant financial crisis, which will include a recession and financial market instability. And when that happens, I think that then, you know, investors will come rushing back into principles as opposed to buying them now when they're low. You know, I wrote something this last week, and I said, you know, you don't buy the plywood to board up your windows when the hurricane makes landfall. You buy it before the hurricane makes landfall. But, you know, investors with precious metals are waiting to see the storm before they buy their precious metals, which is a mistake. They should be buying them now when the prices are relatively low, because, you know, when the storm comes, the prices will rise, and will rise fast.
So are you not concerned that when the recession does hit, it's going to be a sell everything type of event, and there could be almost a washout, which would include precious metals?
Well, there'll be some of that. I mean, you know, but look at what you saw in 2008 through 2011. When the financial crisis really hit and credit dried up on the global financial markets, people used their gold and silver for liquidity, and the prices fell sharply along with other financial assets. But then they turned themselves around and they made new highs and they moved to record highs. You know, if gold topped out at 1100 in 2008, it got to 1900 in 2011. The stock market rose after 2009, but it was much slower, and it was a long, long time before it recouped its prior losses, you know. So I think that what you'll see is, yeah, in times of severe financial stress, gold and silver will serve as a liquidity source, and they'll spike down, but they spike back up almost immediately because, you know, as you recover from the credit freeze, one of the things that you do is you say, well, where am I likely to get the best bang for my buck going forward? And it's going to be gold and silver in that kind of economic environment.
Okay, let's talk about, again, some of these majors, though. We saw Goldcorp take a run at Newmont. There is also that rumor of Newmont being purchased by Barrick. This is after already a couple large deals from these majors. A lot of people have pointed to the opportunity that this is going to present for certain other companies taking some of the projects that these majors offload. However, this all could take time as these companies work through, first and foremost, these deals, and then try to figure out where they want to be focused and which projects they like. How are you viewing this action at the top of the mining pyramid?
Well, you know, the Randgold Barrick merger made sense to us because Randgold brought something real, you know, a growing production profile and good reserves to Barrick. The Goldcorp Newmont deal makes less sense to us because I don't necessarily see where the improvement in the overall product performance is. And the Barrick Newmont deal doesn't make sense to us. You know, we look at the precious metals markets and the gold and silver too. But, you know, if you look at the gold mining industry, there are a lot of companies that are smaller, but that have lower costs, and they don't focus on growing their ounces. They focus on improving their efficiency and lowering their costs. And I think that's where we tell our clients to focus. You know, look for companies that are not necessarily the biggest in the business, but that have a good profit margin and continue to produce profits even when the price gets down to 11 or 1180 or 12 or 1240. You know, and so we tell our clients to focus on that. I think one of the byproducts of the larger companies merging is that they will slough off some very attractive properties that are just too small for them, And those things will be picked up by these junior and smaller and mid-sized companies. And that's, I think, where some of the more interesting investment opportunities are. So, you know, you're looking at exploration properties. You're looking at operating mines that are too small for the emerged company that may be sold off. And those things are probably much more attractive. And the companies that buy them from the larger companies will be the more attractive ones in our mind.
Okay. Yeah, you're not alone in thinking that. It's just now waiting for when these deals start to happen. Let's also just quickly touch on some other sectors. There's a lot of chatter around platinum and palladium recently. What are your thoughts on these two sectors?
Yeah, well, you know, we think palladium's got some further ways to go. It's a very tight physical market, it's a very tight futures market, and there are a lot of participants still long in that market. And we think that palladium has some further to go over the next 3 to 6 months, but at some point it plateaus. And there is a lot of palladium that's owned by investors. So when the price plateaus, will those investors sell or will they stop buying? And if they sell, then the price could come off. If they stop buying, maybe the price plateaus. But what we're telling a lot of our clients is not now, but if you see, you know, in the summertime into July, August, September, when the it may be a good time to sell palladium, take some profits in palladium, and go long platinum, because for a variety of reasons, one of which is that the model year 2020 cars will start being manufactured in the second half of this year, and we think that there'll be a measurable shift away from palladium back toward platinum in the catalysts on the model year 2020 cars, so that you'll probably see some softening in palladium demand. You won't see it because it's all confidential, but there probably will be some softening in fabrication demand for palladium and some increase, a measurable increase in platinum demand from the auto industry, so that you could start seeing the platinum price starting to rise even as the platinum palladium price plateaus or comes off.
Okay, interesting comments there, Jeff. It's always great having you on the show for some of your comments. Where you see the metals moving, you always, I think, take a very reasonable look at all of the data being presented. Jeff, great having you on the show. Thank you for spending time with us this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Thanks.